Super awkward fun cast. You're listening to the super awkward fun cast.
Welcome to the all new episode of the super awkward fun cast with Elle Latham and her returning guests. And this is our 23rd episode. Not technically, but we just call it that just because it's easier because there's not as much math involved. But here's Edwin Santos.
Da-da-da-da! I'm back.
Hi, it's Edwin here, guys.
What up?
What up?
And then we got Steven Robles.
Hey!
One of our faves.
Shop, guys. How you doing?
He got a new haircut.
I can see his eyes now.
You got a brand new haircut. Yeah, I finally got paid from a job. That's when I got a haircut.
Yeah, getting paid is the best.
Getting paid is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so awesome. And then it sucks too because you spend money that you need to spend and you're like, oh, well, I didn't even get paid.
Oh, that took a downturn.
No, it is. It's exactly. It's like the worst because you're like, okay, because I needed to get a new chair because my chair was busted up. I needed to get a haircut, I need to wash my clothes, I need to get like new shoes, like all the stuff that I needed because I, you know.
Yeah, people.
You're just watching all your money go away. You're like, oh, well. At least I paid rent.
That's what it is these days. It's like, you paid rent, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, no, that's where the majority of the money goes.
Yeah.
I
think we can all relate there.
And movies. But I have the A-list, so at least there's that.
Speaking of movies, we saw a movie recently, Steven and I.
Oh, we saw Happy Death Day.
It was awesome.
So you good. Did not invite me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
We have a standing Happy Death Day engagement to go see those movies.
They're the best.
Yeah. And
I'm so ready for the next one.
I wouldn't have seen the first one at all if it wasn't for Elle, because why would I go see that movie? But then I really liked it. And
it was so good. It's so nice to see a movie that's like doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's also not up its own ass and, you know, kind of just gives you a little bit of a thrill and gives you characters that you can believe in and like.
Yep.
Like fucking Jessica Roth just killed it as Tree. We love Tree.
So it's...
Yeah,
I'm ready for part Tree.
So it's further from Scream?
It's like a modern Scream.
It's okay. Not even
or
a
postmodern
Scream. It's like a science fiction adventure. It's really
the first one's more like Scream than this one. This one's more like Back to the Future.
This is it's just like if they had Groundhog Day sequel and they explained why Groundhog Day happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like why that happened to him.
Okay.
And there's a multiverse too.
Well, I try not to ruin too much of it because it's kind of a pleasant surprise.
Well, that's kind of in the trailer a little bit.
The way they do it and
there's a machine in the trailer.
Yeah.
Kind of like Hot Tub Time Machine, but it makes more sense.
Yeah. And
but not as much sense.
They try to put like science in it. Like it's really, it's funny, it's weird, it's bonkers.
The acting is really good.
The acting is really good.
The directing is really good and the writing.
Yeah. I really think that's their franchise. I think that's like their new little
franchise. Yeah, it could be like the new Final Destination until they ruin it.
I think they're all...
They're trying to bring that back, I think.
Well, yeah, it's coming back.
They're bringing everything fucking back.
Is this Dimension Films, right?
No,
it used
Blumhouse.
To be. Yeah.
Oh, Blumhouse. Okay.
I mean, for the Final Destination.
Yeah.
Dimension doesn't...
Not only Blumhouse does Final Destination, but they do Happy Death Day.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
Blumhouse is really killing it right now. And then they have that Us trailer that came out that people just raved about. And I'm just like, I've seen something like this before, but I'm ready to see what the context is. Once I see the context,
I'm guessing clones
and the actual like message, then I can really judge.
Well, the message
you can judge anything by a trailer.
The message is black people are their own worst enemy. That's the message here.
Yeah,
and
but I want to see it as it unfolds and then respond.
I'm guessing it's something to do with cloning.
Yeah,
just from the trailers. I don't know anything about it.
You know, I didn't realize that was it Blumhouse or Blumhouse.
Blumhouse.
I didn't realize Blumhouse is like, I was trying to find it. Like I thought it was being more in Burbank. You know the. Areas where the studios are at.
Yeah.
But it's right down in historic Filipino town. It's like right there on Rampart Beverly. Like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
a
cool.
lot of those people can just like try to get jobs there.
Yeah. Jobs are important. To get paid. See, that's a callback.
Jobs are important.
So speaking of important things, something that wasn't so important and feels kind of dated now is the Oscars. Because we
Fuck
didn't get to
Oscars.
Do an episode until now, and now everybody's just done giving a shit. But it was really special when it happened.
It was going so well. I mean, to me, it was going so well. Like, it wasn't long. I didn't feel it because it felt like
I didn't watch it. I just watched clips.
Yeah,
on
I
YouTube.
Didn't watch it either.
But
I
did,
don't bother.
I don't know. It's like I was, yeah, whatever.
Well,
I'm old school, so it's like I felt it was just like the ones that the favorites are getting awards and wins, and a lot of them are from people of color and stuff like that.
I haven't
or
watched
whatever.
It.
But by the time we got to the best film, I'm just like, what happened?
I haven't watched it since Harvey Weinstein is still getting a paycheck, so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have
that's
TV, so I just follow the news.
Since they were worshipping him like he was a
And they don't stream that for some reason, which is like the stupidest thing I can imagine. Like,
oh my gosh, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Like, they're all streaming everything like now. Like,
and they don't stream it.
They do it badly, too. They can't even do it right.
No, they're like, we'll stream it if you have cable. I'm like, well, that's the whole point. Like, I don't, why would I stream anything if I have cable? Like, whatever.
And then they want to like take over YouTube with all their stupid clips and shit. Like,
well, clips are fine, but.
Yeah, I mean, they're fine, but like, they're trying to own too much of the media, and they're getting lost in it, and they're getting left behind because there's other things happening, and they didn't get on board when it was happening, and now they're trying to bandwagon. And
do they? Doesn't clips make the money for them, other than the entire telecast?
More than the
probably
the failed streams, I think, which is a one-time thing, I think, unless they like leave it on their website or something. But anyway, so like Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, they made a huge deal out of a performance between two
actors.
You
know, that's a really good movie. I didn't realize how good it was, but it's really good, and he's really good in it.
He is.
I love her anyway. I love Lady Gaga. I think she's great. But I liked their performance on the Oscars. The reason
I
liked it a lot was because it tricked everybody. And people are like, oh my God, they must be fucking, they gotta be fucking. I'm like, that's
they're
the whole
actors.
Point of the movie.
that's
they're
their job.
They're great actors, and you know whatever.
And he's a good director because he directed that whole sequence.
Yeah,
and I just love how the audience was in the background, and
it
felt like
it
was part of the movie,
they
like an extension.
I don't know. I was kind of hoping like Bradley Cooper comes in drunk, and just like messes up her speech or something like that.
I don't think he does.
I thought it would be
like
copy of the film.
I don't think he does that stuff.
That would have
he's
been
like,
hilarious and off kilter for
he's
him.
Like one of those,
he's not a Jennifer Lawrence type of character.
Well, he's like a conservative. He's like one of those like Chris Pratt style conservative. Like he's not. I don't think he's.
I remember him on Alias. That's
when
I first saw him.
Yeah, like Alias.
JJ.
Man.
JJ knows how to pick him.
He does.
And then there's like. Unfortunately, like the whole Bohemian Rhapsody editing thing was hilarious and made no sense because if anyone saw that movie, they know that that was not the most interesting part of it, and it was very badly done.
I didn't watch that.
It was just, it was like, why? Like for that award specifically, like you could maybe give it to Hairstyling, or I don't know if it won that, but like maybe something like that.
There are two YouTube videos I found last... I didn't find it. It happened to jump in my thing last night of a back-to-two, not one, because the one we saw like last year, but now there's two of back-to-back, you know, Freddie Mercury and the actor himself doing this, like, you know, back-to-back sequence. I'm like, why are there two videos now? One was enough. Why are there two mashup
really
videos now? It's like, what's
him out
your
there.
Point
pimped
here?
Him so hard.
No, he seemed to enjoy it. He was at
well.
He
who doesn't like
everything.
To be pimped? If there's money involved, you're gonna be like, all right, if I get more money, the next thing, sure.
Yeah,
and now they're talking about him being a Bond villain, which is
that's
just
fine.
So.
He's a good actor. I mean, it's
so great
nothing
for an
wrong
African
with
American
him.
To, you know.
Oh.
become a Bond villain.
He's be Bond.
Wouldn't that be funny if he was Bond? Like, they wouldn't consider him for Bond, but the villain. Like, like that's how you know you made it. Right?
You can't have him as Bond.
Yeah. He's got the eyes. The
he
eyes
looks
are
like,
just
he looks
too
like
strange.
He looks like a... Like a
he's like a Steve... He's the Steve Buscemi of our generation.
He looks like one of those things
sorry,
that
is.
You... Like, they blow up and it waves around outside of the car dealership. You know, the big eyes with the thing. He looks like a, some kind of insect. It's so weird. And then they use the worst pictures of him, like when he's like getting the award, his eyes are like big. He's like,
are you seeing this?
I'm shocked he's a lead actor. That's my shock. Like, I mean, Mr. Robot's fine because like he plays like, you know, a goofy, like a fringe
that's,
character.
That's
but.
How I knew him. But then I saw him on, like, The War at Home from back in the day in mm-hmm. the 2000s when he was closer to a child, not quite a child. And he played this gay character on the show who was kind of a stereotype at times. And I was like, okay, what was his name? Greg or some shit like that. Anyway, it's not Greg, but it's something really basic like
that.
And so, like, that got canceled so quick. But his character was, like, the most funniest part of it. And he had, like, all the cute little lines.
No, yeah, he's a good actor.
But, you know, that's, I mean, Jennifer Lawrence was on that show, Bill Engvall show. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, they've all started in some place or another.
And she
used to be,
actor.
Like, soaps, and now it's, like, sitcoms and shit.
So, what you're saying? The track is starring
at
a failed
thing.
City, yeah,
something
television
shitty.
Show,
and
which
then
will jumpstart
your
career in
yeah.
film.
And then you okay. marry a director. or sleep with them and then marry someone else.
Right.
Which
right.
is what her trajectory was.
Oh my God.
No,
did you
she
do you
did.
Remember when she was doing it with Aaron?
Doing it? What do you say? What do you mean doing it?
Dude, she's totally doing it. You're totally making it.
Climbing the corporate ladder.
Dude, she was,
climbing.
She was,
Darren,
a, she was
with
in a,
Darren Aronofsky.
She was in an Oscar nominated movie. She was 14 years old. Get out of here.
But I'm saying, why would she wait till she's famous to go after the director?
Maybe like, he went after her.
Maybe it was a mutual thing. And
well, I'm sure
know.
It was a, I mean, you know, he just like.
Obviously, it was mutual, but I'm saying, like, maybe they could have had the same idea at the same time. I don't know.
I'm
not in her business. I didn't watch The Fappening either because I don't deal with.
Well,
drama
that.
Like that. You saw her naked?
Fuck yeah.
Oh my
got,
God.
Well, I had my own show at the time, so you have to. You have to watch that stuff because people are going to be talking about it.
Oh,
so
dear.
If something comes out in the news, you
okay.
gotta, you know what's the
well,
weird...
I'm not going to watch the R. Kelly sex tape.
That's also... But here, the weirdest thing about the naked Jennifer Lawrence is that her tits are lopsided. That's the weirdness about her. Like,
so it's natural.
Yeah, she's natural. She got natural breasts, but
good for her.
One points up, one points down. Like, it's really weird. And I think
we
that's...
Can't
I think that's
judge.
It. I think that's it. Like, that's the only... Otherwise, she's pretty, but it's like... She, I don't know. It wasn't anything like, you know, it was a natural body, in other words, which was
okay.
fine. It wasn't anything.
Is that how she sounds like? No, forget it. I'm not
going to
go. I did.
Well, there wasn't any fucking. It was just
it's just
her.
Pictures for Harvey
yeah,
Weinstein.
Yeah, she was like naked.
Oops, sorry, Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, she was like naked on a
not
treadmill.
Harvey
she
Weinstein.
Was like chilling, like doing her hair, like sending these fun videos to her boyfriend or whatever. And,
or the producer.
Or
never
whoever.
Put anything
or whoever.
On crowd.
Well, she was drunk in almost all of them. Like, and almost, and then it was like her and her friend, like naked, like drunk, like laughing. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's what I'm drinking.
God, you've seen more. Anyway, no, I'm just reminded of the recent story about the Warner Brothers head executive that he's a Japanese American
yeah,
executive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he, I don't know, I read the
text. I didn't see all of that. Could you go through that a little bit?
There was like,
I heard a little bit of
They based it off like stories. Because they're now admitting, like, okay, yeah, it happened. But they're basing it also on the text back and forth between him and an actress. I forgot her name. It was Charlie Kirk or whatever. I forgot. Charlotte Kirk. Charlotte Kirk?
Well, they're all going to forget her name now.
Yeah, so she's... I don't know. I couldn't tell whether she was the one conniving, trying... Because she was pushing him and Brad Ratner and a couple other people. Like,
oh.
Push my career forward. How come I can't get the job? Ratner says, like... I can get
out.
You to. I can get you the audition. It's up to you to nail the job. I'm sorry.
Or nail
but
me.
Like, and
yeah.
I'm like, and we're reading like, yes, that's how it's supposed to be. But I couldn't tell who's at
but
fault.
Brett
whether
Ratner.
It's like,
but it's
yeah,
like,
I know, I know.
Ratner,
Brett Ratner.
Like,
yeah, yeah. But I mean,
where's
like,
the other guy?
It was her friend. I forgot her name. His name.
The Warner Bro guy.
Kevin, and it's Japanese last name. I don't know. I know I'm Asian. I should be knowing this, but I don't. I'm sorry.
You don't all live in the same country. Come on.
The Japanese and the Filipinos get along. You don't even know that shit.
But I mean, like, he's married. I mean, when he first got the job, I was kind of like, yeah, like, he can represent, you know, all that. No one can touch him. He can, like, he'll, I mean, I don't know one can touch him, but
yeah.
He can be, like, he'll be the straight and narrow guy who will get things done, and that's it. But then this happened, and I think he got tempted. Or maybe he fell for it.
Well, one thing
about
Hollywood
happened.
Is that it's corruptible. No matter who you are,
well,
you're
like,
easily corrupted.
Let me
if
ask
you
this. Let's be
let
honest.
Your guard
like,
down.
Who gives a shit? Who
yeah.
fucking cares? Like, if you want to use your pussy to get a job, use it. You want to use Mika, you want to use
but
it.
But don't pretend that it's new. Like, I don't like
that's what I'm saying.
People
like,
are pretending well,
that's
it's
what
I'm
such saying.
A
like,
new
it's
thing.
Like, this is how it's been. Like,
exactly.
It's never
going
to change.
Have you been?
People in positions of power are going to use sexual whatever to get what they need to get. Women who are attractive are going to use their bodies to try to get what they want. Yeah. And people want to fuck. Like,
be honest about it.
And we said this last time, too. People want to fuck. Like, that's all. It's like, what is so
sex
shocking
sells.
About
they
that?
Use it in advertising all the time.
Right. And so what if they want to use it to get a job? This girl squeals out. It's like, she's the bad guy here. She bought into a system that she tried to use something that she had to get ahead. And then when
reminds
she didn't
me
get
of the
what
Me
she
Too
wanted,
chicks. You know.
Right. When she didn't get what she wanted. She turned code and tried to put this guy down, but I'm like, he's a guy who wants to fuck, dude. He's a major studio head. He's got a dick, like he's got balls and testosterone, like he wants to have
and
sex.
And by the way, I bet there's a bunch of dudes who would like to get with a like Kathleen Kennedy kind of type of girl.
But the dudes don't talk, and
you know.
It's like,
but they're smart enough to do it
no,
behind the scenes.
Or they might even get with a few guys. Like it's like they it's
and dudes
just,
do it with the guys. Yeah, exactly.
And they do whatever they need to do to get by.
The fascinating thing about her, Miss Kirk, is that she's autistic also. I mean, not also, but she's autistic. I'm like, oh my God, that kind of explains, like, not a lot, but like, you're driven. I feel most
yeah.
autistics are driven no matter what
mm-hmm.
they can get.
But
what
does
want.
Autism mean now? Like,
I know.
Now they have a spectrum. So it's like, if you have like
yeah.
a weird tick, you're autistic. It's like, no. I met some
people. It's like everybody
people.
Wants to be a victim of some sort.
Everybody has
be
to have
some kind of special person.
A label, right?
Like, have something assigned to them.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like two different things. Like, her, like, using. I mean, she's made. I don't know if she's taking advantage of the Me Too movement to get what she wants.
Well,
I
yeah.
don't know.
They all
I don't
are
know.
Right now.
They are, yeah, I'm assuming that might be the case. So she's using a movement to get what she wants.
That's
compared,
the whole point of the movement, by
compared
the way.
Compared to mm-hmm. Josh, whatever his name is, using. I don't know if he was using indirect. I mean, well, after he got, like, supposedly beaten up and stuff like that.
Jesse
Smollett.
Yeah,
Jesse. He was victimized. He used diversity to back up, like, hey, oh, you feel sorry for me, like, and you know, it's like two different instances.
But
I'm like,
they're doing the same thing. They're building a narrative to make themselves look like the victim
mm-hmm.
when they actually
no, it's
precipitated.
And I've always said it's much easier to be a victim than it is to be a victor.
Yes.
Because you, when you're a victim, people want to help you.
Even Harvey Weinstein views himself as a victim. All of these people.
He is a victim. He's a victim too, in a way.
But I'm saying they view themselves that way.
Yeah.
So it's all perspective.
No, I know it is. But people.
And R. Kelly views himself as a victim.
He's a victim too. I mean,
they are all. Everybody's a victim.
Yeah. He is in a way.
We're here. We're victims.
He preyed on people, but then he got preyed upon. And it's
that's
like,
how it works. It's a cycle
right.
of abuse.
I don't see why sex and weirdness freaks people out so much when everybody's fucking. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, are
it's
we so ashamed?
It's a puritanical country.
Yeah, are we so ashamed of sexuality that it just has to be so
they don't
so
care about the bombs killing children all at our behest in, you know, from Saudi Arabia to Yemen. They don't care about the children dying over in Yemen. They don't care about...
Well, they care about that stuff. They just...
They don't...
Just,
they don't
they
talk about
don't,
it as much as...
Well,
and
but,
they don't outrage about it as much as sex.
That's mainstream media for
you.
Well,
know?
It's also different. Like, everybody fucks, but not everybody's blowing people up. You know what I mean? Like, there's no relatability there.
But it's been normalized by society.
Well, and what are you
going to
do
more so
about
than
like,
sexuality has.
You can talk about sex. You can use social media to destroy people. You can't really use it to stop bombings. Like, you know, you're trying to stop the government from doing what it wants. It's a whole different thing. Like, you can't... There's nothing you can do about that.
But
so,
I'm saying, like, the conversation itself has moved towards an anti-sexual kind of vibe rather than anti-violent
vibe. I think
vibe.
It's just more of the thing where...
More pro-violent anti-sex.
I think a lot of people feel it's a lot easier to talk about that rather than what's being...
Well, it is.
Everybody
it's
a distraction
has
also.
Yeah.
It's
well,
what's
yeah,
in the media.
Well, yeah.
It's what's being... getting clicks, you know? A lot of it's clickbait.
I don't care.
But anyway, so you mentioned Jussie Smollett, and that whole case is getting figured out right now. And a lot of people are thinking that he's going to get, you know, very little time, if like 18 months, if that.
That's fine. As long as he gets one day in jail, I'm happy about it.
Because all he
yeah.
did was falsify a crime. That's all he did, right?
Well,
I mean, how much of a penalty
he falsified
is
that? A crime.
Oh,
he put it out in the media to different sources, and then he lied to several different people in the police and kept them away from doing their job in a very highly volatile city.
Yeah, and in that level...
Where there's murders and missing
I think
people.
Really what they want from him is restitution, and I think he's going to have to pay some money.
There was a shooting right after this. Well, there was, but I'm sure that happened. Aurora. But... So there happens to be a lot of shootings as well in Chicago, throughout the city, and in Aurora. So
I think people are just...
Took a lot of manpower away from those investigations. They just want to take
him
down.
But what I'm hoping is they do that, okay? So they do this for him, and they put him in jail, and that sets a precedent for all these people that make these false police reports.
And then buy it, hook, line, and sinker, because it's politically convenient. I'm talking
like people like the white people that call the cops and the black people for no reason.
Well,
like,
yeah, all of that.
Like anytime that happens, and the cops show up and be like, okay, you know what? We're gonna charge you for this.
But let's be honest, it was a politically motivated hoax as well.
Well, we don't know what the motivation for it was. We know
he used MAGA hat people. Well,
but he used that to cover what happened, but we don't know why any of that actually happened.
But we do know there is a correlation between the Kamala Harris anti-lynching bill situation that she was moving. No, but we do know that that happened at the same time. She put in a tweet, you know, this is bad about Jussie Smollett. It's a modern day lynching. By the way, I have an
Well, but that's a separate thing. We're talking about this guy.
So but like, I'm saying this was his guy. No, she put his name in there. We don't know what
his motivations are. See, everybody thinks like a gay cover-up, like he had a bad Grindr date.
But yeah,
like,
we don't know the facts of the situation.
Then someone said, oh, he had, you know...
I also don't think it was very appropriate for Superintendent Eddie Johnson, I think his name was, from the police, to go in an interview on ABC, I believe, and talk about the case when it's ongoing.
You can do that. As long as he just presents the facts, it's fine. Like,
then he kind of made it seem like the check, the $3,500 check, was connected to the crime, but it's actually been, you know, kind of shown in texts that was connected to the program.
We don't know for sure. Well, he also said we don't know all the details.
He did say that.
So,
but he also
the grand jury also indicted the guy in 16
has times made implications without evidence, which crime, I don't think is helpful. So a lot of people are kind of just trying to get attention in this case, in my opinion. Like, there's a lot of people fighting for the spotlight. Throw the book at anyone who does this shit and wastes everybody's time. I just don't like
the fact that he used diversity and whatever, the movement to...
That's where it was going to lead, though.
My problem with that is that now anybody that can talk about diversity and the movement, even myself, will not be believed.
Well, how about this? I don't believe anybody. It just weakens
the whole movement. What?
The minute that story came out, I'm like, I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either.
I don't believe anything about evidence. Actually, I didn't know
who he was, so I'm sorry.
I didn't have any evidence. I had nothing to believe.
Well, I don't believe anything. I look at people, I'm like, when they make these claims, I don't believe it. At first, I just don't. I'm like, there's a thing called guilty before, you know, you're innocent before proven guilty in this country. And so when you come up and you say, I allege this, I don't take it as a measure of guilt.
That's what's happening nowadays. Is in 2019 allegations.
No, it is. It is.
Has become the new.
It is, like, and you can just do punishment. That and cause a problem, and then later and
people
on
people lose their jobs. It over can be allegations. Proven
that nothing happened, and still person still loses their job and gets in trouble. If people still have their doubts, you know, it's like the Michael Jackson thing, right? Like you can come out and say, oh, this guy molested me. Oh, wait, no, he didn't. Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, wait, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
And then, but then he's
dead. You literally exonerated him before he died.
Right, and then he's dead. He goes, like, right, and they use the Hillary argument against this. Like, oh, she went through all this testimony from Benghazi, and oh, she sat there cool and calm, and all of this, all these things. So she must be innocent. She must be innocent. And so Michael Jackson goes through this huge trial and all these interrogations. Yeah. And, oh, he must be guilty. He must have been lying. It's like, okay, we can't have both.
Also, there were other people, there were other factors at play when it comes to like the settlements. It's not just him. He has a team behind him that are possibly against him. Because you see all the time with these celebrities, they have lawyers who are like, well, they're fucking up here, so I'm going to get him and do this job for them.
Well, yeah,
and that's what happened with him and the estate and everything that was happening with Sony and stuff. Like, and, you know, there's so much more to it than that.
These guys owe them money for court. I mean, it's like there's all this huge thing, and it's like the guy's dead. They come up with this
He's dead.
They come up with this thing. They
and
call
it, the Simpsons thing? Are you fucking kidding me? I already saw it. Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? I saw it.
When they come up with this documentary.
Are we going to get punished for seeing things that are inappropriate now? Are we going to be
triggered? Like, kids going to even realize?
God damn it.
I don't know.
I had to pull my windows up driving over here because I was blasting Michael Jackson music on my radio.
Do it.
So, well, I was afraid, like, someone might pull over, like...
Banning music is the same as banning literature and art, and it's sure. not right. And by the way, he's dead. He doesn't get any money. R. Kelly doesn't get any money. He sold his fucking publishing rights like a dumbass because he's illiterate, I read. And I don't know if that's true. But he's been that said to be SNL. Illiterate. He claims to be illiterate, apparently. And so...
He's probably dyslexic.
You know, he wasn't able to figure out what he was signing. Plus, they put that shit in such fine print anyway. And people don't sign a lot of things, like the terms of services, so yeah. we can't really judge. But the thing is... You know, it's a little late now. And the R. Kelly thing is really interesting because there are people who keep popping up, and that's that damn woman, Gayle King, who keeps popping up. And she popped up way before this on a yacht, which was David Geffen's, with Oprah, watching Leaving Neverland on Oprah's birthday. Because that's what you do on your birthday. You watch a four-hour-long... documentary about your ex-friend Michael Jackson, who's been dead since 2009.
Whom she defended publicly.
Yes.
I don't know.
And you watch it, and then you decide, oh, I'm going to get in on this action. And because it's David very, Geffen paid me to.
And it's a very sensational movie. Because I don't call it a documentary, because there's not two sides presented in this thing.
It's exactly,
just,
it's not.
It's just one side of everything. There was no... Counter,
also, Taj Jackson is taking liberties. I mean, he's showing that they're taking liberties with the truth a lot in the documentation.
No, it is, and it's like it's so graphic, and these people are like, oh well, they're so earnest. You can tell. Like, I see. I'm like,
they're playing
when,
your emotions.
I'm like, look, when you have millions of dollars at stake, book rights, speaking rights, travel, for being paid for the doc, you're going to practice your shit for 10 years. You have 10 years to practice all of this emotion, all of these responses, all of these things in order to get this money. And people are like, well, yeah, but why didn't they go through the public ridicule? They're going to go through all this shit. Like, would you do that? I'm like, for $20 million? Absolutely.
You're in the hole financially. You need to get that
right.
money.
I would pay that money
you
back.
You lose
to these
your
guys.
Marriage
right.
if you don't get that
and
money.
I would take the money and I would just disappear. Like, I would to go through public hell for $20 million, I would fucking do it.
Also, he already, like, cheated with Britney Spears back in the day and has been in the limelight before.
No, these guys are just... It's just...
And
it's
he,
so sick.
He's done some horrible things. He's took advantage of Michael's sincerity and friendship and did this horrible thing. And then Brett Barnes has come out and said this is all bullshit and he doesn't want to be involved and he's trying to sue HBO about it. Because they mention him. I think Aaron Carter's probably going to be really kind of upset because he was mentioned. He's like, what the fuck? By Wade. Like, deal with your own shit, but don't put me in it.
You
know? And then Macaulay Culkin's probably going to come out and be like, what the fuck? Why am I being mentioned in this shit? Like, he's got better shit to do. But, like,
wrestling.
I mean, it's just like, is it unprecedented? I don't know. But some people have compared it to Jimmy Savile, and I say no, because those people were credible who were saying shit about
Jimmy
him.
Jimmy Savile,
the guy from the BBC who worked for who worked as a kids show host guy, and he was in a charity with all these kids, and he like went after sick kids and just was an evil monster. Mm-hmm. According to a lot of people who worked for the BBC, and there was a documentary about
yeah,
it on
care about England.
That wasn't on BBC, but it was from England, and I watched it. But I'm saying it's
not
the same thing.
If you lived on an island
thing,
for your whole life, you'd probably be crazy.
But I'm saying it's not the same thing because his crimes came out after he died, but there was a massive cover-up as well, and there were people who came forward who were credible. You have to have credible people with evidence. There's no evidence in this documentary. Not documentary. Mockumentary. Whatever the fuck this is. This shakedown for the estate, I guess. I don't know. And then the estate isn't very innocent in this either. Because everybody wants money. There's money all around for everybody to get. And nobody's innocent. The innocent guy, if he was innocent, died.
Yeah, he's dead.
You know?
He's the most innocent you can get.
So stop fucking with dead people. Let's fuck with Elvis next. Like, where are you going
to
go with this?
They're trying to fuck with John Wayne, too.
Shit.
I don't know what's going on, man.
That news of John Wayne coming out.
That's what
I'm
we're
like,
doing.
But,
we're just...
but I'm like, I've heard that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
like,
was
what's new
for
about
fuck's
that?
Sake. Like,
I mean, come on.
People just, I don't know. It's like, I see people trying to tear down old traditions. That's why I see this happening. It's like people are trying to tear down the things that have been built already and make new things, which is fine. It's human nature to do that kind of stuff. But at the same time, they're clinging to like the strangest...
They're getting authoritarian with everything.
Well, they're clinging to the strangest things. So, like, they'll tear down Michael Jackson. They tear down the patriarchy. They tear down all the Confederate statues. But they love Christmas. You know, like, yeah. That makes no sense to me. You know, it's like...
It's always something, like... And that has a bad tradition, too. Like,
well,
but it doesn't
matter. It doesn't matter. Like, let people do what they want to do. Like, who gives a fuck what they do? As long as they're not hurting anybody, who cares what they're doing? It doesn't matter.
I really love your hair. I'm just saying.
You think so? Is it puppy?
It's
really too puppy,
nice.
Isn't it?
No, it's really good.
Really? Oh,
don't
thanks.
You freeze like with a new haircut? Like,
sorry.
I grow my hair long because I'm
cold all the time right now.
Okay.
Like, I mean, just...
It's
mean,
cold
I,
now.
outside. I have to take blood pressure medications and, like, these shits just, like... I don't know.
You have
I,
the shits?
No. Thank God. Thank God that's not part of the problem. No. Mostly what happens... And this is coincided with this. I don't know if it's that... or weight loss or whatever, but and I'm super cold all the time now, and it's like I can't get warm ever, and it sucks, it's horrible. And I asked my doctor about it, and he's like, I don't think it has the medications. Like, but it coincides with that, so it's like, well, you all lost a lot of weight, you know, maybe you just I'm like, but my blubber's gone now, like I can't stay warm, but yeah, so I got a haircut. And you know, everybody, when you get your haircut, it's like it's cold in the back of my neck, like
yeah.
It's warm
yeah.
on the side.
Sleep with your hoodie on.
Because I didn't cut my hair. I think last time I cut my hair was probably last year, probably July or August. So it was growing pretty... It had been growing for a long time.
Mm.
I like talking about hair.
No, let's just talk about hair instead of Michael Jackson.
Well, speaking of hair, they're not continuing with the musical Hair on NBC.
Nah.
Oh, well, there we go.
I don't even...
Well, you know why? I'll tell you what. And this is, I tried to look this up, but I couldn't find evidence of it. But I remember when we were in high school and college, I was like involved in helping get the rights for theater shows, like with these high schools. And to get the rights to Hair, if you're not in high school, to get the rights for Hair, you have to. There's two very strict conditions. One is that you have to include all the nudity, because there's full frontal in that, and they like you have to have it in there.
Why don't they call it penis?
Because there's hair on the thing. It's the 70s, 60s. They got
pubes.
They got big bush. And the second thing is you have to. Alter the play to make it relevant to the current political situation somehow. And I think that's what happened with the NBC thing is that they don't want to do anti-Trump. Like, they have to because that's the current climate. And that's what Hair would go, is it would go to the Trump thing. And I think that they were like, nah, I don't think we can do that.
Yeah. So they want to have their cake and eat it too.
Well, they want to have a thing, right? And it is a relevant musical now. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, opposition to whatever things going on. And it's actually pretty good. It's really sad. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the play or not, but it's like super sad. Right, there's a movie, and it's like it's about Vietnam, and
I figure
you know, it's like, and the kids are going to Vietnam and they're protesting, and it's really sad.
It'd be cool if they made it about Venezuela, since that's the next view.
No, we're not sending any troops to Venezuela. It's just
well,
we'll just bomb the fuck out of them. No, we're sending robots, man.
Well, they do drones now.
It's all robots now.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll
send more innocent people to be killed.
Well,
more precise killings.
That's because people. These people got to keep control of their shit. Like, that's the problem. What's the problem with Saddam Hussein, right? He had control of this oil, and like, oil is still necessary for the majority of the world. Okay, people still need it. We're moving away from it.
AOC would like to believe that's not true.
Well, hopefully we don't have to rely on it so much, especially because we're doing internal drilling here in the U.S. So like, we have our own supply now, so we don't have to rely on OPEC and deal with those guys anymore. But we still want to make sure that someone like Venezuela is handling this side of the world, and we want to keep it under our control. And the guy that's in charge now is a complete lunatic. So it's like, you don't want to have a lunatic in charge of that stuff.
But so is our guy.
Well, not really. I mean, because it's like...
The guys behind the scenes.
Yes and no. Yes, because they're fucking nuts. But no, because they also have an infrastructure in place that's pretty solid. So there's no, like, political wrangling. We're not holding our oil over somebody where Venezuela can hold an entire economy hostage if they choose to do that, like Saddam Hussein was trying to do with Saudi Arabia, is trying to hold these things hostage. You can't do that with a resource like that. So someone's going to go in there and take care of it. Yeah, because Saudi Arabia has oil reserves too, but Iraq's oil reserves are just as lucrative.
Okay.
So, like, Saddam Hussein wanted to control that shit. We're like, no, man, like, we put you there to take care of our shit, but not to, like... You can't do that.
So when guys don't play ball, like they're supposed to. It's like,
as well, you as any business, you should do that. I mean, it's like someone's going to sit fucking
around.
That's
the whole point.
Puppets, or are they partners that went rogue? Like, it's different because
puppets off a string.
Yeah, puppets off a string, exactly. And you put it, you kind of put them in charge of things, and they fuck it up, and they see the greed.
But
and
that's
they want
why this doesn't work. Is like it keeps happening over and over again. It's for history.
It'll
TV,
keep
so.
Happening. But so what's the alternative? So the alternative is to have something like a Halliburton in charge of all of these things and have his tentacles and everything, because then you have one consolidated leadership under everything. So there's not any of these little fractions going around having problems. You have one leadership, central leadership.
Well,
to deal
I know
with
the
it.
Solution, but you won't like
it. Well, there is no solution because the resource is necessary.
No centralized government, but yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about government. I'm talking about control of resource. Like, it's not, it has
but that's
to
part of it, is like the government controls the resources.
I don't think Halliburton's really in charge, like controlled by our government. It's a private entity. And I think they're multinational too.
Well, Eric
so.
Prince has something to do with it.
Right, but he's also not really under government control. So it's like Blackwater. He's a private security agent, right? He's a security guy. So these guys are a multinational thing. So it's not like a government can come and go, but Halliburton's going to be there forever. Just like you know, we look at Vice, like Dick Cheney and those guys, and like the Rumsfeld and those old school white Republican, or not even Republican.
That's because we live in the military industrial complex. Like, it's the foundation.
It's part of it, but again, it's like if we have no military, and Halliburton would still exist. Like, it doesn't, it's just its own thing. It's a resource control thing. It's not really under the control. It's not really focusing on one aspect of anything. It's just a thing. So it's like,
but there should be regulation as well. If there is government involved, like, I don't know if there should be, I definitely don't think there should be like cronyism going on, and that's one of the main issues, is that when there's
but then what's the
so many people,
what's the alternative to that?
In on it. That's why I'm saying like centralized government just doesn't
well, but,
work.
But without, let's say we didn't have centralized government, you would still have this cronyism going on, nonetheless. Like you'd still have.
But I don't know the solution. But I'm not
right,
pretending
but
to
but because
the
that
solution.
Is the solution, and then it sucks to think that way because you're thinking in sort of a philosophical way. But you have to think of it in a hard-term, logical way. That's the solution. The solution is to have that. The problem is that people are, like you said, people are corruptible. So like they're gonna keep clawing for more and more and more and more and more. And people
that's,
are still going to want these things.
That's
now,
why a lot of people want to end the Fed, and that's their main goal.
But again, offer a solution.
Yeah.
If you want to get rid of things, you have to offer a solution. And if you can't have...
Or audit the Fed. There's a start.
Well, what's that going to do, though? It's not going to do anything. So it's like...
So we would know what where
but
the
then
money goes.
So you know, then what? So again, what's the solution? There's
I mean, we
no
already know
that,
that there's like $22 trillion taken out of the Pentagon.
And
nothing has been done.
And
I think a lot of people are complacent.
What should be done?
Because they know that they'll lose everything that they have. That is owed to the military-industrial complex and everything related to the government.
No, that's true.
Technology that they use every day.
That's true, and that's why I think like when people talk about party politics, like both parties are complicit in that because everybody wants war, everybody wants constant conflict.
They want the spoils.
They want the spoils of war necessarily, but they also want the profit off of the building up of war. Even if there's no fighting at all, we still want to have this innovation that. Computer technologies that makes people money, mm-hmm. But the problem is we're assigning it to one side or the other, and it's both sides.
Yeah, that's the divisive nature.
And see, that's why I like people like Alexandria Ocampo, or whatever her name is. I
She's
like,
actually pretty divisive.
No,
herself.
I like that though, because that's a different way of doing things, and it's a change.
It's not that much of a change. She's saying the same things other people have said.
But she's doing something about it.
She's
like,
not doing anything about it.
Well, of course
did you
is.
See her how many Ubers she used in her campaign?
Who cares?
And she's saying that we shouldn't use Uber.
But they're there. But how are you going to get around? You got to do it. I mean, if you need,
but
if you need to
be
something.
But at least be consistent and
well,
say other people should do what I'm not able to do myself.
But the thing is, maybe you make those Ubers electric or hydrogen powered. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you got to use it, right? Say, oh, it's a necessary resource. We don't
but
want to
Uber
use it.
But Uber is also terrible with their company practices
whatever.
As well, so.
Every company's terrible. But
a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, try doing something without doing something terrible.
She's a hypocrite because
What's the solution?
The Green New Deal is a total piece of shit document.
Well, yeah, but it's a formative
thing. It's embarrassing, actually.
It's a formative thing.
Read it and I'm like, are you serious? Because there's stuff about like racism and like income inequality and everything. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, all right, but that shouldn't really be in this document.
And it won't be in the final deal. It's a formative thing, right?
It just feels like it's a hodgepodge of all these talking points that they call themselves, Democratic Socialist people want to put together to make government have a little more of a role in your life, but it'll be a happy role, and they'll be doing good things for you.
It's a start. It's a start, because right now the government does not have a happy role in our life.
But this is leaning towards a 1984 future.
No, it isn't. Stop it. No,
it's leaning towards it.
How is it leaning to a 1984 future?
Yeah.
Because they want to attack free speech right now on both sides, a lot of people. The extremists on both sides want to keep the other people from talking. And they have managed to do that in various ways. And they use Twitter as a tool to do that as well. And then they like report things that they don't like to see, like the Learn to Code thing.
Elle's mad because she got banned off Twitter.
I'm pissed about the Learn to Code
thing. She's talking about.
The Learn to Code thing. They got me on Learn to Code and I didn't even go on anyone's fucking Twitter or anything. It was on my own. And I just shouted out to someone. I said a joke that someone should petition to have them learn to code because they're not good at journalism. and then they fucking banned. They fucking
right.
temporarily.
So now she hates everybody. Now Twitter's a weapon.
Ban me. And then I had to like delete my tweet because it was so offensive. It's not offensive.
Stop using Twitter. Stop being a hypocrite.
Well, here's the thing. When you promote the show, and congratulations for having the show to have now a Twitter account.
Yay, Super Awkward Funkcast has a Twitter account.
Post episodes, do it from this show's Twitter account.
Yeah.
Not from your own Twitter account.
I am going to do that. I just...
It's just whatever.
Yeah.
Synergy. Social media.
But I retweet it from my account.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I always retweet it.
I retweet it. Whenever I see my stuff mentioned, I retweet it.
Because I only have two followers right now on the account. I love that it gave me the name Super Awkward FU1. That's what I wanted. Thank you.
It's rough, man. It's rough. I mean, I used to have my own show. I had my own show for over 10 years. And I think I only amassed natural listenership of about 120 or something. Like, it wasn't a lot.
We got 8 on the last episode.
Yeah,
but
that was like, you know, that was a lot of building.
And keeping, right? Keeping the followers. Like, retaining.
Well, I engage them. You have to engage them offline too. So,
yes.
For the nascent birth of social media, and I had, my accounts and everything, and I was able to just go ahead and like, I would always come up ahead of the show and be like, what do you guys want to talk about? Like, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we talked about last time. Here's the thing. Here's a copy of the chat from last time. Here's all the stuff we did. Because I had an active chat room going like while we were doing, I did the show live. I never did this stuff. I always did it live. So we always had an active chat room going.
So much better than me.
No, it's just better. I think it's just more fun. I think it's more fun to be on the ledge and like be able to speak and be able to fuck up, because people are going to... You're listening to it right as it's happening, so...
I'm not editing this.
No, I know. You don't edit. That's fine.
Well, I did before, but like...
But
I'm
people
just,
are
like,
more in tune to listen to a live show than they are to a podcast, because they can
right.
stop the podcast anytime they want and never
And then
back.
You can do a chat. So like if we did this on YouTube or something, we might get more...
You have a chat going.
Viewers and listeners.
Yeah, and that's how I had it. You know, was on. I used to use a service called Stickham, which allowed me to have multiple people on video at once. So you could go onto the thing and see everybody that was watching and see them in the cameras and me. And then you could communicate with everybody. And then we had Skype and we had all these other things that we could use. And but my show was long. I mean, it was 3 hours, 5 days a week. It was long.
Like Joe Rogan long.
Yeah, but not like that. Like, I mean, I had a partner. We had a partner. I had hosts. I did interviews. You know, we did all kinds of other stuff. We had people call in. It was you know, it was good. It was fun.
By the way, did you see Alex Jones on JRE?
I don't watch that shit, dude. Why do you watch that stuff?
Dude, I had to. No, it was so entertaining, though.
You never have to watch
it. He's irrelevant, man.
No,
it's all part of the
irrelevant
thing. That's what we were talking about. Because Elle and I were talking about, like, what should we talk about on the show today, right? And for the Trump and North Korea and all that bullshit. And I was like, you know, I feel like when we talk about those things, we're buying into the media subterfuge. Like,
no,
I
agree.
Because,
like, I didn't want to talk about Michael Cohen for that reason.
Well, it's because none of it matters. Like, none of the shit matters.
It's a dog and pony show.
It's all just a ruse. And it's like, I'd rather talk about the Oscars because to me, that's real. Like, that's a real
thing.
That's
real?
Yeah. It's more real than this other bullshit. You know, or like movies. Like, I saw Captain Marvel.
They're
that's
all
a great movie.
Actually, people have said that, like, Hollywood is the PR firm of the military-industrial complex.
Whatever. Like, see, but even the military-industrial complex, I actually don't give a fuck about those things because it's like, I don't care because it's not real to me. Like, it's just people making money.
Well, if you were in the country where it was happening.
I'm not. I'm here.
You know,
so, whatever, right? So, I'm here.
Well, that's not.
And it's like, but those guys, like, they don't. Their leadership is at fault just as much as our leadership is over there because they can't get their shit together either. So and they rely on everybody else to give
them
stuff.
Same in France with Macron as well.
Right, and France is a piece of shit anyway. So it's like that's, but I don't care about those guys because they have their own things what they're doing there, like Syria.
But I think we should be focusing on things here, and that kind of stuff is distracting away from actual problems that we have with,
yeah,
like,
in some cases,
infrastructure and water. Like, some cities in the U.S. don't have basic human needs.
Yeah, and a lot of them don't want it. You know, it's like, I remember
I think Flint wants some clean water.
They do. They do.
My mother would like some water.
Yeah, well, see, so we were studying the rural South once in college, and we were talking about, like, that was sort of my cause in school, was helping to bring awareness to the plights of the rural South and in America, because it was like the third world countries there, especially back then. You know, they got in towns where, like, the kids' faces were rotting out because they were just drinking Mountain Dew and there was no water. Like, but the government tried to go in there and help them, and these towns and these municipalities were like, we don't want you here.
But I feel like it should be a community kind of
role. They weren't interested in it. And they were like, we don't want the government in here. We don't want any regulation.
Exactly.
We want nothing to have to do with you guys. We'll take care of our own. We don't care what's happening here.
But
we don't have outdoor plumbing. We don't have indoor plumbing. We don't care. We like the way we live. We want to be independent and fierce. And, like, that was what they were running up against. That's what we run up against a lot of the times now. Is you have these local governments that don't want any government interference because of whatever reason they got it, right? In Michigan, I feel like maybe it's just, like you were talking cronyism, like it's internal problems where they're making too much money, too few people are making too much money,
yes,
doing these things, right? Because Flint, you know, is in trouble because they're trying to build one waterway over another waterway, and they shut things down. They brought the water source from a different place,
yeah,
and they won't fix it. So Jane Smith is going to fix it, right? Or Elon Musk is going and trying to fix it. Like, which I feel is, like, that's really what should be happening. Like, if the government isn't doing what you want it to do,
I agree.
Then you should go in there and do it.
I agree. That's why I don't really trust the government.
But that's the Republican philosophy, right? The Republican philosophy is individual
more like
control.
Libertarian.
In a way, but libertarians don't want any government interference. I think that the Republicans are saying the government.
Because Trump likes to interfere. He's just going to.
Well,
I think the Republicans are
saying the government should step in when they need to. But moreover, the states and the individuals have more rights, but the government should be there to back you up if you need the help, but not to go in there and do everything for you.
My thing is, I don't trust sociopaths to help me.
Well, too bad, because sociopaths are going to run this world forever.
But I don't trust them to be the solution to the problem they created. Most of the time, these problems were created by the same people who provide
the solutions.
So
who is the solution? If it's not a sociopath, who?
Maybe there isn't a solution. Maybe that's the ultimate
thing. That's the solution. that's what I'm saying. That's the
but
way
that's
to think.
Maybe the thing about humanity is that you just have to deal with whatever you have to deal with until you die. It's not a...
Yeah.
There's not good or bad.
Or you can just live your life. Like, you don't have to be in the negative way. You have to be like, I deal with...
No, I agree with that. But I'm saying, like, in general, like, stop looking for solutions. Because you...
Or create your own solutions.
Are the solution.
Well, maybe the solution is to take the risk of...
The ultimate solution is the giant meteor.
Cut him off.
Maybe the solution is to take the risks
yeah.
of accepting those who are proposing things to live better, like AOC or Bernie or something.
But I don't think that's not naturally what, I don't think that's actually what they're doing at the moment. I think they're doing what they have been taught to do. And it's just another...
But we'll never know. Unless
and again, the government created the problem, and you're saying the government's going to help you with the solution, and I just don't think that makes any sense. When the government provides a lot of problems, including poisoning its own citizens, so... And gassing its own citizens in various
instances. Okay, so what do you do about that?
Don't take their word for anything.
Okay, so then what?
Wait for the giant meteor to save all of us.
Well, that makes no sense. But yeah. See, that's the thing, is that people come up with all these great problems, but they have no solutions. And if you're going to come up with a problem, that's why I don't ever complain about shit, because unless I have a solution for it, there's no need to complain. And it's like
that. By the way, I've not been complaining.
You just complained for 20 minutes right now.
How am I complaining?
You just finished
complaining. I'm explaining,
complaining.
Not complaining. I'm explaining. I'm not butthurt about anything. I'm fine.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you with solutions. Like what happened to me last night at Trader Joe's. Uh-oh. I went there because I was looking for low sodium, low calorie salad dressing. Because for like 3 days, I was trying to, like, I have high blood pressure too.
Okay.
So I'm trying to lower my sodium intake. And I found one.
There you go.
80 milligrams low sodium. And the calories was like five grams. I don't know how to read this thing. But I'm like, as long as the numbers are under whatever it is, like, solution. I can enjoy my salad now. I don't know how that damn thing tastes like. I have to find that out today. But it's low sodium and low everything, and that helps my blood pressure.
Yeah, visuals.
Yeah, you got to have it. And I go to the same thing too. The low sodium.
I think the health thing is a good one. Like, you know, you get in charge of your own destiny, of your own future, of your own health. And make sure that you're doing everything within your power to make sure your life is better. But don't make other people do the same thing that you're doing. When that might not be good for them. What's good for you is not always good for them.
No, you're right.
So that's kind of how I feel about the whole AOC thing. Is like, handle your own business
first. That's a
whole
different thing, because if you're gonna have a country and society and rules, and there's gonna be some things that don't fit everybody. And that's just how it works. And we were talking about
stuff. She seems to be so unaware of why her deal is ridiculous. Like, why people think.
But that's
so.
How you start.
Because she
that's
looks at it as a right-wing thing, and that's not what it is.
No, but that's how you start. And she's new. So, like, that's how you start. You start by making these huge statements, and then you refine everything. And that's why she's there. She's there to learn. She's learning, and that's the thing. Is like, you have a lot of these people in there. People, like here's an example I was talking about earlier about tearing down traditions. People want to get all these old white men out of Congress, but then when they have someone like her come along,
yeah.
who's new, they tear that down too. And it's like, what do you want?
Well, the
what
media
do you want?
Is doing a lot.
Well,
of that
but
as well.
But no, the media is boosting her up, and it's like, why?
Well, the right wing media,
but then fake media. Well, but who listens to that? So like, I mean, I guess they do, but.
I mean, fake media on both sides, but like.
But I mean, but if you look at like I was really impressed with her coming up and saying, because at first I had a question. She came up and questioned these pharmaceutical guys, right? She had these experts come up and she's like, "Look, isn't this how the pharmaceutical company works? Isn't this how these guys get in the office and like take all this money from Big Pharma and then they?" It's like she's sort of explaining what we already know.
That's what she's always done to me.
But who else has done that? No one else. And
Bernie.
Well, okay, good. So, but what you do when you do that and open Congress like that is that you put it on a record. And that's what's important, is that it's being put on the record, what's not been put on the record before. It's like someone like Elizabeth Warren, where I like her about her when she attacks the credit card companies, because she puts them on the spot and says, isn't this what you do? Okay, well, we can all surmise everything we want, but until you say it right here in record, it's not true. But then she got these credit card company guys to say, yeah, this is what we do. We exploit all these people. Yeah, what do you want to do about it? But it's there now. It's there. It's being said. And that's the important thing, is that these things are set on the record, because that's how our country works. So when you have AOC,
I just want to tell you that this shit has been said so many times before even 1950.
Yeah, but not in...
You know
not,
what I'm saying? Like,
but
this
not
is
in this way.
A cycle.
Yes, but it has to keep being said. Otherwise, there's not going to be any solution. So when you have someone that comes in and says, okay, now we have you on record as saying this is how this works. What do we do to fix it? And like,
and
you know,
I feel like they're just chasing their tails over and over again. It's just the same show over and over again. And it's a rerun.
Well, look at it this way too. When Hillary Clinton became a representative, what the fuck does she do? She didn't do anything. All she did was feed into everything that she'd been feeding into forever. So now you have this new couple of people coming in. They're inexperienced politicians, which is great, but they're new, which is hard. But they come in and they start saying these things that need to be said again. And this time they're speaking to a different audience. They're speaking to people that are listening, not people who are just like.
But I kind of want to get to like the Ilhan Omar situation too, because
she's the new one that they're really ganging up on. The easy solution to that is that criticizing Israel is not criticizing Jews. And that's the easy
solution.
But
what they're trying to do is correlate anti-Semitism with anti-Zionist and anti-imperialist.
Let's say anti-Israel. Okay, let's not throw the other.
Okay, whatever.
Those YouTube conspiracy theories in there.
It's not a YouTube conspiracy theory that Zionists exist. They do. They're
right,
neocons,
but that's
most of the time.
Still a buzzword. But being anti-Israel is not being anti-Jew. And I think she's correct in stating that these are the problems, and Israel's part of it.
I don't like that she backtracked on the Obama statement, because clearly,
I like that.
Clearly, he did kill a bunch of people with a smile on his face.
Yeah, I know.
Clearly, this is facts, girl.
But that's political.
And then she's like, "I'm a Obama fan. Why though?"
It's politics, you know.
Identity politics. That's why
you have to back up a little bit, just because you can't play the game that far forward because people
you can't tell the truth too much.
But it's there.
You're a politician, remember?
But it's still said. It's still said, and the people that are on that side, ears perked up, and they heard that. So it's like you still. It's almost like when you say something in open court, they like strike that from the record. It doesn't matter. The jury still heard it. It doesn't matter what they tell you to take from the record. They still heard it. So, you know, you can't really trust them to not, you know, factor that in later.
But I feel like the people who usually go along with the identity politics in a very extreme way on the socialist kind of side of things are finally figuring out that this is being used as a tool to cover a lot of the war crimes in Israel and everything that's going on.
Oh, sure.
And they're finally figuring it out. And it's like, I was there for a while, and now you're finally here with me. And
well, seeing what's happening too in the Middle East is that
it's going to be unifying.
Is that because we're drilling our own reserves here for oil? The need for Israel in the Middle East is becoming less and less extreme. So we needed them there to keep an eye on Saudi Arabia because we needed the oil that they had, and we need to keep their deal and keep them strong.
We don't need Bibi anymore. I think they're going to throw Bibi to the wolves.
Dude, he's done. He's done. That's a horrible way to go out. But what are he done? We don't need them as much as we needed them before in the past. And we have a lot to thank. We have actually Obama to thank a lot for that too. But it's like I think that's why now this anti-Israel stuff's coming up, and that's why they're fighting so hard to against it, because they still want to be relevant out there. They don't want to.
I think it's
it.
The death of an empire.
It's the changing of the guard.
Oh yeah, changing of the guard. You know, that's a better
analogy. And Israel has done their job out there. They have protected our interests in the Middle East forever when we needed them there.
What's with Iran? Are we giving up on going after Iran next? Because I thought that was the next thing.
But why do we need to? The only reason we go after those countries at all is because of oil.
But that's what Israel wanted. Like, they've been wanting to go after Iran forever.
And fine, let them go. Like,
but they wanted U.S. to do it.
Well, that's
proxy.
The thing is we have to distance ourselves from them and let them do what they want.
Not about oil. Maybe it's about land.
It's about
boundary.
Either land or money.
Like, well, it's always about money. I mean, that's even the
well,
land
I mean, like
money.
the banks, you know, central banks.
Okay, but yeah. So once Israel's stranglehold is a little bit looser out there, they can deal with their own shit. But they have a problem too, because they rely on, you know, foreign aid to live out there, to keep there.
Which is hilarious, because aren't they supposed to be a democracy, and we're not really. And they're supposed to be like they have health care that we don't have. Like they
well,
have
all kinds of stuff
out
there, you know, and
we pay for it, but
sure.
We can't pay for it here. It's hilarious.
Sure, but it's all dwindling. It's all it's all
up plane. Oops.
It's all fading.
The plane.
You know, then once we move away from fossil fuels entirely, then.
Which we will, because that's the next frontier that they're going to do.
And we should, you know, and it's
they're going to do the transhumanist thing where they're going to put everything as an AI kind of thing. Like, they're going to put people into robots, basically. They've already, like, telegraphed
you're
that.
You're
going to
put people
ways.
Into robots? Like Daleks or something like that?
Well, they're going to put consciousness into robots. That's the whole thing of the, like, data. Like, they're getting all our data and the DNA and everything.
Cut them off.
So they want to put that into the consciousness of an AI tech kind of cyborg thing. So yeah. We're going to have cyborgs at some point. We're just going to have to deal with it.
We already have cyborgs.
I mean, we already are one, according to some people, because we can't go anywhere without our phones, our smartphones.
Well, but you
got to
think, the internet itself is already an AI. It's already, we already have.
It's the next logical step in the.
We already have a hive mind going, and it's already happening. We're
already
able to connect instantly to people and get an answer.
I mean, your television monitor, which is off right now, is actually watching us.
It's not, because it's not one of those kind of TVs.
Oh, you bought it like when
it's older
technology
than that.
Became. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then, okay.
It's watching you.
Probably here is listening to us in the computer.
That's fine.
But it's not watching me because I got a Band-Aid on it. Fuck off. And I never even like
it has
turned
an infrared
it on.
Camera. It can see right through that Band-Aid. It doesn't need it. It doesn't need the Band-Aid to cover it up. It can see right through it.
I never use the camera. I don't even think it exists.
It doesn't have to be on to record.
I never turned it on to begin with.
Okay, duct tape next time.
Just take it out. Just break it.
It's fine.
Just stab it with a nail, like an iron stake, like right through it.
Oh, that reminds me of data. So I did read a story, and he doesn't want to talk about it, I know. But like, I'll go through it real quick.
It's just boring.
It's an airport thing where, have you heard of Clear?
No.
No one's heard of this shit.
It's in the airport.
If you explain it, maybe I'll recognize
it. It's like
it.
A thing that you go to that has it uses biometric data from you, like your eye, you know, that sort of thing. Like it does a scan and it can identify you. And it's a way of kind of getting our data, like on the covert. I mean, it's not really that covert, but like.
What about a mama?
And
they have you look into a thing with your eye,
like a retinal scan,
and you pay $15 a month for the privilege.
I haven't done that yet. Although I don't want to do
at
that
at airports. it's supposed to help you get through the lines quicker. It doesn't really in a lot of ways.
Like
a lot of people
eyes.
Have complained about it, and it's supposed to, you know, get you through security as quick as possible. And it doesn't actually do anything. Like you still have to take off your shoes and shit. So it's a high level scam, and it's from scammers who had Arians Capital. They had this firm, a hedge fund firm, and then that went under. And then in 2009, this company went under, and they brought it back in 2010. And the original guy was, what was his name? Stephen Brill. And then he was gone, and he was like a TV judge or
something.
Dude,
some you have
shit.
Foreign money here.
I know, I do. I'm so cool. And then, so he was like the founder of Court TV. So he came up with the whole idea, and then he left, and then these people from this hedge fund firm came in, and now they've taken it over. And I looked at a few articles about it. It's crazy, because like, it's kind of fucked up what they do. And they give that information to the Department of Homeland Security. They have been certified safe by the DHS. So they can like get your information and sell it to all kinds of people.
How about
in the government.
If you refuse to take this, what happens?
Well,
you won't
it's
fly?
Your choice.
Oh,
you
good,
know,
because I'm not...
You choose... At this point, you can do a $15 a month plan. It's a membership thing.
Oh,
so
good.
They make
that
you
is not
pay for
mandatory,
it.
Then. It's not mandatory to use your
so
eye.
So it's literally
to
people
enter.
Fucking paying for the privilege of being spied on. Like, they've gotten people to pay, just like with the phones.
Okay. Well,
they're doing the same thing, but they're doing it, like,
right,
for
well,
air travel.
My only concern is that I don't like lasers in my eye.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds
like
horrible. You know, I worked at a place where you had to put your hand in the thing. Have
yeah.
you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked at a place where you signed in that way.
Yeah, same.
Every that, day. So. Twice a day.
To open my phone.
Huh?
To open my phone.
Oh, you do the fingerprints?
Yeah.
See, I could never.
I
turned that off.
I don't care
about that.
Actually, there's nothing. Oh, I don't know what I would care about getting my phone.
Oh, I'm gonna sneeze. I feel like I'm gonna sneeze every 2 minutes, but
sneeze,
I'm not.
Sneeze.
I'm gonna try.
We'll have a sound
I've
effect.
I've never sneezed on here.
Record it as a sound effect. You haven't used
have
it
I
next
ever
time.
Sneezed on the show? I can't even remember. Stop it. Stop. Quit. What's going on with Kanye West? I haven't heard from him in a while. What's his feeling on Venezuela?
Oh, boy.
He probably loves it. He probably like, I love Venezuela.
Humanitarian aid, yay. There's no guns in the aid at all. Like, there's no people getting blown up or anything.
No.
That reminds me. There was a story today, breaking news, in Ethiopia, where I believe 157 people died in this plane crash.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the same model plane that was used in October that also crashed.
Hmm.
Yet they used the same model because they said, "Oh, it's okay."
Hmm.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay. You can use it. Yeah, here.
Interesting.
Okay.
So there's some corporate kind of
crashing. What? I thought they were so technologically advanced that.
Europeans. Some Americans were in it also as well.
Oh, well, forget it. Let's go to war.
Oh, well, is that why it got coverage?
Let's go to war right now.
Shit. Uh-oh. We're screwed now. We gotta
stop sending those
Ethiopia.
Bags of grain to Ethiopia at them immediately.
Yeah.
USA for Africa. Let's take
all
that money back.
Stop selling Sally Struthers.
Stop selling Sally Struthers. No, stand her over there. That's fine.
Yep. Oh, and Luke Perry died. So.
That's pretty sad.
That's so sad. He's
that
the
is
nicest
fucked
guy
up.
In the world.
I never heard anything bad about him.
No,
ever.
I know. And that's what my friend was like, what do you think happened? I'm like,
and he was so good on Riverdale. Like, Riverdale has its issues, but he was the best part of it. And now, the best part's gone.
I was a background extra on 90210, so. It was a nice guy. I met the guy. I was like, oh, so
no,
nice.
It's true. And I know people that knew him, and they were like, he's such a nice dude. And when he died, my friend was like, was it drunk? Was it drinking with alcohol? I'm like, I don't think he was in any of that stuff.
I don't think so.
I think he was a smoker. Cigarette
smoker. He was a smoker, yeah.
But,
I
don't think he ever got into the drugs and the drinking thing. I said, there's no chatter at all. There's no negative chatter about this guy.
Interesting.
My guess is that he just won life, and people and the universe was like, okay, you're done.
I read,
like, you're
like,
too handsome, you're too rich, you did all this cool shit, like,
yeah.
You had sex with all these women, like...
I don't like that people were saying he didn't look good at that age. Like, what the fuck?
I think he's very handsome.
What is he supposed to look like?
He
looks
very
normal.
Handsome to me.
He looks like a normal 52-year-old dude.
Yeah, not even like a normal one. Like, there's a show on Netflix right now called The Order, and it's horrible.
I've heard of that.
It's horrible. But Matt Frewer is in it. You know who Matt Frewer is?
Max Headroom.
Yeah, Max Headroom.
Oh.
And he looks like a skeleton came to life. He looks so terrible. He looks like Fire Marshal Bill. Like, like, he's just like no lips. He's like, and I think he got sick. I think he was sick. Like,
oh my
fair.
No.
The show is terrible, but I feel like he plays like this kid's grandpa.
Sorry.
No problem.
I just kicked.
My leg was going to go up and then.
Just kick him harder.
Yeah.
And he just looks terrible. But that's what I'm saying. You got people that look horrible, you know.
Also, the internet cared about him for like 2 days, and then it was like, on to the next thing. I noticed that there's something that is really big for like a day or two, and then it's on to the next thing.
Yeah, like when you light a match.
It literally is a cycle, a news cycle. So, you know, you just keep putting the same shit in it. Like,
that's good though. It's good conditioning. It's good conditioning for people. Because,
yeah, it is.
It is because
brainwashing.
As things move faster and faster and faster, people need to process things faster and faster and faster.
And it desensitizes people.
Right. And like us, like the fogies here, you know, we have a hard time keeping up. But the kids are learning at such a rapid rate that by the time you think about Star Trek, where like they know calculus when they're like in fourth grade, right? That's where it's all headed that way because they're learning that quickly. Like, I told you, I met this kid couldn't comprehend reading, but he understood videos. Did I ever tell you about that kid? And it was like, he came in a comic book shop, and he was looking for comic books, and his mom was like, we need something, you know, he reads comic books, but he doesn't read long form books, because he can't, and he's a super smart kid, like really, really intelligent kid. Like, you tell him, you talk to him, he's like very articulate, and like, when he's like really kind of fussy kids, but he was a cool kid. She's like, but he only learns by video, he can't learn via reading the book. Either he listens to it or he watches the video, and I'm like, that's where the brain is going, like that's where it's
yes.
headed.
That's I totally understand
that's
that
part of the AI kind of transition that we're having too.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, it's, you know, it's good. We all become one big brain because
well, it's what the new world order wants.
Oh, stop it.
In high school, it is. In junior high school, I can't study inside a library. It's too quiet. I can't.
No,
it drives me nuts.
I have to have
sound or watch or television in front of me in order to get my homework done and pass. So
I would use music a lot when I did homework.
No, I need music. Yeah, there's always something.
Classical music would help.
Well, no.
Whatever.
I mean, for me, I was like, no, I couldn't do that.
Chopin.
Because I had to write here. I couldn't find these, whatever these are, earbuds at home. So I had to write here without them on the bus.
Those are literally broken, and I've never thought.
And I keep breaking mine too, but I can't.
Planned obsolescence, another good thing.
But I can't. I'm on the bus, and I can't. I have to listen to everybody's conversations. I like listen to all the things that I can't.
Have you ever like had a Truman Show show moment where you're like listening and making sure that everything is kind of like not too scripted sounding? Like you'll see someone
holy
outside
shit.
And they come by, and then you see them again 2 minutes later, and you're like, why are you over here again? Like. Does it make you wonder, like, when somebody's like walking a dog
no.
or something? Okay.
That never happens.
I mean, that has happened to me, but I would never think of it.
But I don't think of it as like, oh, everything's fake. I'm just like,
I never listen to see anybody's talking about me or my life is scripted.
No, I just listen to conversations sometimes to see how scripted it sounds in terms of like, I'm a writer, so like I listen to it. And I'm like. Would I buy this if I was, like, watching a TV show or something? I, like, watch people as if they're in a TV show sometimes.
Well, okay, that's fair.
It's pretty cool.
No, I do that.
Or go to a party and just hang out with your friend. And
just listen.
And just, like, what are they saying right now? Are they going to kiss?
And I want to see how far the conversation goes until somebody just stops talking. And then I want to see, oh, well, maybe that's when the simulation ends.
No. I think you're touching on something very deep here. We're going way into the L psychosis.
Right? I mean, it could be the Matrix. We don't know.
We don't know.
We have no evidence.
I'm pretty sold on the fact that we are in a simulated environment. I'm pretty sold on that.
Okay.
But I'm not sold to that it's being controlled by any one thing. I think that we control it ourselves. But
I've not said that myself, and I have no reason to believe that it's
well. If it's a scripted
like
thing,
a creator then, person,
then who's scripting it?
Or we're just being.
And why?
Or we're just being.
All
observed.
The world is a stage, and we merely players,
oh
son.
Or we're just being observed. We're in like this little box right
now. We could
now,
be in a petri
and then
dish.
Just like
yeah, it's like SimCity. It's like fucking SimCity, Dad.
Yeah. We don't know what's real and what's not. We only know what we've been told is real and what's not.
I know what's real.
Do you ever think about how you're like a skeleton underneath everything and you got like muscles and shit and you just think of how you look like inside and how you look like everything else?
We all look the same.
Everybody else is the same. They're
just
a bag of muscles.
Do you think that if you found L's skull on the ground that you would know it's her skull? I think I could figure it out. I think if someone said, do you, like they showed me a body and I saw just a skull, I'd be like, that's L. Ethan. I know her. I see her, Horatio. I see her face. I know the skull.
Yup. What was that going to say?
I always wonder that.
I watched a little bit of that show, Sex Education, on Netflix. It was boring most of the time. I skipped a lot.
I find so many things now just so stupid.
I found it so overdone. Like, all the characters... I mean, I was sort of interested in the first character, Otis, the guy, played by Asa Butterfield. And he was just like... I was like, oh, maybe he's asexual or something. Maybe they're going to do something different, and they're not going to have him be somebody who wants to get with a girl or whatever. And then they just changed it. 2 episodes later, he's pining after a girl, and I'm like... Oh, it's the same shit I've seen a million times. Always a sex therapist, but you can't get the girl.
Because there's no original story out there.
Exactly.
So
they just...
The same.
They
it's
just
human
keep
life. That's
cycling
the same.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything is a cycle.
Well, but there's always ways to tell a story.
Yeah. And then the gay character is so over the top, obvious. And the dad is, like, really understanding. He's, like, really worried about him getting bashed and everything. It's like, am I watching Glee? What am I watching?
That's why I enjoyed the new Roseanne show, which he was on it. Because it was different. Something different.
I didn't even get to see any of it. I saw like one piece of it, the first episode, because ABC is a piece of shit and they want to make you pay for their content.
Couchtuner.tv. You'll
find it. Cool.
But it was just a very interesting. It was a very interesting thing. It was a very. I liked the tone of it. I thought it was like something different. You know, like the people go on about this One Day at a Time show on Netflix. Which,
what is that about? Like everybody's all of a sudden talking about it.
It was a sitcom in the 80s, and it was about a single mother.
Oh, they brought it back.
70s and early 80s, and yeah. It was a mother raising her kids, her daughters. In this apartment, like a middle class apartment building, and you know it was pretty good. It was pretty relevant.
It was a 70s 80s show with Bonnie Franklin and Valerie Bertinelli all those. I've heard of the original.
Yeah.
Right. So this new one is a Latino family, Mexican family, and Puerto Rican. So people are the movement, I guess, like they want to keep this show. They don't want Netflix, right?
Yeah,
they don't want to get rid of it because.
It's
a very good show, really.
It's okay. It's like a typical sitcom.
Selfie was a good show, and they got rid of that one.
Selfie was a good show.
I miss Selfie so much. Selfie, come back. Karen, it still looks good. John still looks good.
Yeah,
Karen,
but she's making billions of dollars.
I know she's above it, but like, still, I wish she would. I wish they would. The whole cast was so good. I really strived to try. I literally called Hulu and Netflix, and I was like, please pick up this show. Please, ABC is letting it go. We can't have it.
That was the... And there was an actor
I was really
on, there was
into
actor
it.
On there. That was my very first headshot session ever. Aww. And he booked that show because of that. I was really excited.
It was such a good show.
Yeah.
Ah, and it never ended, really.
Even my mom liked that show. She hates everything.
And it was based on something that was actually done before, but it was kind of a new take on it with all the social media crap that we have today, and was saying something about pop culture and how people have changed. And it would have been really nice to see it continue, because they had so much chemistry, too.
Yeah, it's a
John
good
and
show.
Karen.
Loved it.
Damn it. Every time I think about it, I just want to cry. That's like the one show that I really fucking... That's my Roswell. Like, all the people who were trying to get Roswell to stay on the air in the 2000s, whatever fucking year it was, with the Tabasco, I was like, Netflix, come on! Hulu, come on!
It's
like,
amazing.
Let's go!
It's amazing how powerful Netflix is.
Save
because
salty.
There was a show called that premiered the first season last year called You, and it was on Lifetime.
I love You!
It was on Lifetime, and it got... okay ratings, I guess, but once it premiered, the first season premiered it on Netflix,
it was funny
everyone started talking about the
funny
show.
When everybody was talking about it, I was like, oh, I already saw, like, whatever. Because I watch people react to things on YouTube, and one of the shows that this person reacted to on YouTube, I'll shout him out, the Trophy Munchers, Joseph Hardy, and he reacted to episodes of You. And I was like, oh, this is so interesting. And I love seeing Penn Badgley again, because he hasn't been around since, like, Gossip Girl and Easy A and all that shit. And so, like, I just watched it, and he was, like, such a good character, because it's, like, the perfect specimen for a stalker guy who's, like, in all those romantic comedies and shit, who you're supposed to be on board with the entire time. But he's also really creepy and doing bad things to the main character, the woman that he's after. But then that's sort of the conceit, is that, like, do you really want to trust him and be on his side? He's kind of a sociopath, but go ahead. And then that they kind of, like, proved that in real life, when people were like, oh, I want to fuck him and everything. It's like, he's like, no, you don't. He's going to kill you.
Like,
what
it.
The fuck?
Look at the Ted Bundy craze just happened.
And
know?
Now that, yeah, because people love to have that danger along with the sex. And
love the bad boys, man.
Yeah.
Bad
girls.
They want to change him.
Yes. And there's that whole thing that we've
probably
seen.
Just want to be murdered.
Throughout history, like in literature and in movies and stuff, where you can change people. And they'll change for you because you're so special. And you've opened up a piece of their heart to love. And like,
I'll change for somebody if they're rich enough. If they want to give me some money, I'll change.
It's true.
Anyone can change.
I'll be
money.
A sugar baby right now. I will be a kept man. I don't give a shit.
It's but old habits die hard, because when I was married, she was trying to change me, and I was like, I was fighting, like, no, you can't go with your friends. Like, what? I hate your friends. Like, why am I? If I known this, it was tough.
See, like, when I'm dating somebody, I prefer to be with them. I would rather be with them than with my friends. Because it's like, it had to be somebody like that. Like, yeah. If somebody trying to control me, it's a different thing. But I've never really dated a controlling girl before. Most of them are pretty easy. I mean, like, just, like, cool. I mean, there was one girl. Easygoing. There was one girl that didn't like my friends. But I didn't care. So I like being with her, so I didn't care, like, about that. I was like, that's fine. We can spend all the time together. That's fine with me. Then you have the girl that, like, wants to be friends with all your friends, and they're like, oh, I don't want to like
that's her. Weird, right? Yeah, but then that can be too close for comfort.
Let's go hang out with your friends. I like them. Like, or they make friends with like your female friends, and that's the worst.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's the worst. Because I'm a little bit like in a relationship, I'm a little bit like, I'm like, don't go to them. Like, if you have an issue, come talk to me. Like, they don't have the answer. Like, where are you going? Why are you doing these things? Why don't you ask me? I'm sitting right here. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, you piss me off, I'll tell you why you're pissing me off. Or if I'm happy, I'll tell you why I'm happy. If I'm angry, I'll tell you why. Don't go to your girlfriends and be like, why is he so mad at me? She doesn't know.
I'm not. But are you friends with your exes?
Ooh.
I'm not. They're out of my life completely. So, are you friends with your exes?
I've always wondered about that with relationships, how that works. How you can be so in love with someone one moment, and then, like, a couple of weeks later, you never see them again.
Well, it depends on how you start. Because most of my relationships started out as friends. So, I'm friendly with them, whereas I'm not friends with them. Mm. Because a lot of them don't live here anymore. They all move away or dead. To me, but they but no, I mean, there's still like there are two girls that I know that I still they have the same birthday, and so every year on their birthday I send them a note. I'm like, hey, what's up, and we talk a little bit, like for like a couple of days after, and then I don't talk to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year I send them a thing again. But I know that if they were in trouble or something was going down, like I would never hesitate to go like help them. So like I said, friendly. But no, there was one girl I dated that I liked a lot, and we broke up, and she was like, we can't be friends anymore. I'm like, why not? Like, you know, we were friends before. Like, I like being friends with you. Like, I don't mind hanging out with you. Like, why would we not? Because the exes can't be friends. I'm like, okay.
I don't get that. I just...
Well, I mean, if you're friendly with somebody, why not stay friends? I mean, unless there's some abuse involved, like,
yeah,
you know, something going on, which just never has been for me. Well, from my point of view, and from them, they've been abusive to me. But it's like, but... And mental abuse is different, especially with women, because
like, what if like maybe they would have residual feelings or something? Is that what it is? Like sometimes, well, when they don't want to do that,
I guess. Like for me, like I'm with Edwin's kind of on that way. But like when a relationship for me ends, it ends. Like I don't try to get back. I don't believe in reconciliations. I don't believe in going back to like a girlfriend. I don't like that idea, because somebody's coming back to somebody, and it's at that point. Somebody's always going to have a little bit of superiority over the other person in the relationship. And I don't like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
I like equality in my relationship. I like to be equal.
That's
compromise. Not
well, compromise for a long-term relationship, sure. Because you have to. People, human beings, got to compromise with each other. But if you come back to somebody, then they... I remember there was something of that. It was in popular culture, there was a reference to this somewhere about how someone has an upper hand on somebody. And it's like that's, it might have been Seinfeld maybe, but like you have the upper hand on somebody when you come back. And I never liked that. I'm like, we broke up for a reason. Like there's, nothing's going to change. You haven't changed fundamentally, neither have I. So why should we be together? We can be friends and like hang out and do shit. And like maybe fuck once in a while, but the relationship will never be the same because it's done. It ended. And so when a relationship ends, like it ends. And I remember it's like girls would be like, you'll lose my number. I'm like, okay, whatever, fine. Or they'll be like, you know, don't stalk me. I was like, oh, why would I stalk you? Why would I care? Why would I care? We didn't work. Like, why would I want to be like, oh, baby, please, baby, please, baby. Like, I would never make you do that to me. I would never want you to beg for my attention. You don't have to beg for it, because once I decide to be with somebody, I'm with you. I'm not going to, why would I want to cheat or go fuck around? Like, why? It's hard enough to find somebody cool. Like, why would I want to do all of that?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense, but girls expect guys to be a certain way, and when you get into a relationship with somebody who's like, wow, you know, you're not the same. They expect you to fall into a certain pattern of male behavior that they just assign to you.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to like be a dude, because I was raised by girls, so like I have a different understanding of women than like a lot of guys do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I get it, but I also don't have a lot of understanding about men the way some women do, because I wasn't around a lot of men growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm toxic men, maybe, like the male Hispanic machismo of like growing up in the male, like Hispanic society of these Latino males is really hard, because they're all very masculine, very about their dicks and like their hair and shit. And it's like, I just wasn't. I was like a smart kid and I wanted to do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's hard when you meet a girl and she expects you to be a certain way. And it's like, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in that. I like conversations and like intimacy and like having a good time. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not about like making you do something or like being the firm hand. Like, I don't want to run your life for you. Like, you do your thing and I do my thing. And where we meet up, that's where we have that common ground. And that's where we have fun, you know. But it's like, you do, I insist on my girlfriends having their own things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not interested in like doing things for everything for them. You know, all the girlfriends I've had always had something really important to them they do on their own, that they could always go off and do that by themselves. So
I think that's healthy in a relationship, to have your own,
it's super important, you know. It's like, you know, I'll support you in it. Like, I dated one girl who's an opera singer, and I supported her in it because I thought she was really good, I mean, and amazing. But I had no clue how to operate in that world at all,
right?
So I would just support her, you know,
mm-hmm.
or try, if she wanted my help, because I didn't understand performance and like the entertainment business, but she didn't get that part of it. So I would help her with that stuff. But like singing or training, like, I didn't know anything about that
yeah.
stuff. So I would just be like, you go do your thing. Like, you know, you got to go train. People, oh, you know, I'm going to have a long session today. I'm like, go for it. Like, go do your thing, man. I'll just sit here and watch TV or whatever. You know, or go to the practices too sometimes.
On that note, I think we're going to wrap everything up. Just want to get everybody's social meds. I tried to say it.
We finally ended the show with something
social
nice.
Media. Yeah, we ended on a good note for once. No Debbie Downers today. So, Steven, where can they go to see your shit?
In the toilet. in about 20 minutes. I don't really have anything. I don't. I go Facebook. I'm public profile. You can find me there. Instagram. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. You can find me.
You're not gonna plug anything?
I don't have anything to plug. I mean,
okay.
It's like, you know, what am I gonna plug? No. I have nothing to plug.
And you're gonna be at Universal City Walk again?
I'll be Universal City Walk to maybe see Apollo 11. I want to see that. And. I'll be at the City Walk 19 or whatever that is up there. My A-list. There, I'll plug it. AMC A-list. Well, I pay $20 a month. And get 3 movies a week. I've seen 3 IMAX movies. Those movies are $27 a piece.
Yeah.
So
that's insane.
You're paying $20 a month.
What a great scam.
Yeah, but I'm paying $20 a month and I'm going to see an IMAX movie, you know.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel. I saw Captain Marvel. I saw...
Oh, we didn't even get to talk about that. We'll talk about it next time.
It's pretty good.
We'll talk about the drama and everything.
It's not worth it. It's
or maybe we'll just ignore it. That'll be our okay. We're ignoring it.
I would say if you're gonna see a movie right now, go see Alita: Battle Angel. That's
I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp finally.
That's a good movie too.
It was cute.
I like that. It's very cute.
Michelle Pfeiffer looked great.
She's.
It's
awesome.
Interesting to see her with gray hair too.
She has my birthday. She has my same birthday as me.
I liked her hair. It was very long. It was like in a braid.
Yeah. Captain Marvel, totally worth it. Worth to go see. Not an IMAX, but it's totally worth it.
Wasn't it difficult to view Brie Larson as a superhero? Because I'm so used to her as an indie actress.
No, I don't really know her. The only thing I really know her from is Scott Pilgrim.
I know Short Term 12 and Room.
Yeah, see, I never watched those movies. But, like, she...
And that.
No, she's good. I mean, she's really good. There's a really great interview with her with Ellen DeGeneres, where I feel like Ellen was flirting with her hardcore, that I watched on YouTube, where they scared her. Like, this thing jump out and scare, because Ellen scares people on the show all the time. I fucking love that shit. And the way that Ellen's looking at her, like, the way she's talking to her is like, you're like, damn, they did it, dude. I know it. right? What we said earlier.
Is it a
right?
Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga thing?
No, because Brie Larson is talking about how she had to work out to be Captain Marvel, and she has to push this Jeep, and like she's showing like this picture of herself like pushing this thing, and Elle's just looking at her like, "Oh my God, I love you!" Like just and Brie just sitting there like tough as shit, just looking at her like, "Yeah, baby, Peg City."
Back to plugs. From pegs to plugs.
Okay, so Amazon's loss. Fuck you. You took away my films. That's a whole other subject we didn't talk about. But
we fucking hate Amazon.
So you can find Mad Cowgirl, Blue Dream, and Samurai Cop 2 on Tubi. So if you have the Tubi app, you can watch it on your phone for free and stuff like that. T-U-B-I, I believe.
Okay.
It's a new thing. Mad Cowgirl especially, because there are four of the actors from
Mad
Cowgirl. Sarah Lessay, James Duvall.
Sounds like a porno.
Sarah Lessay, James Duvall, Devin Odessa, and Jason Simmons. They all four of them were on a film called Nowhere from Greg Araki, which, by the way, Greg Araki has a new show right now on Showtime called Now Apocalypse. I don't know why I'm promoting that one, but I just want like to correlate the two, so I can watch Mad Cowgirl anyway.
Evan has real plugs.
He's an industry.
No,
insider.
You're a real. He has a real like creds.
I worked my ass off to get to this point.
You
can find me on Twitter on at Edwin_A_Santos, and I think that's the only one I want to promote at this point.
And
what's Mad Cowgirl?
I finally got a thought. Forget it.
What's Mad Cowgirl?
We need to know.
Is there a Mad Cow in it?
Yeah, it's a woman who's I mean, somehow devouring a lot of meat. I don't know, some kind of, in place of her love for a doctor, a psychiatrist that she's fallen in love with. It's a little, it was out there.
But we want
10 years ago, so it's kind of like a progressive psychological film.
Oh, cool.
People are still like doing reviews now. Anyway.
That's great. And then also you can check out the podcast at Super Awkward Funcast.
Super Awkward. Fuck you.
Super Awkward F.
Which is the actual handle. And then we also, and you can also check me out at L Latham. I'm the only L Latham with at L Latham, so you can't miss me.
L, the letter L? Or
at ELLELATHAM.
Like the magazine.
At L Latham. Yes, like the magazine. Like L.
Oh, no, like L. Well, yeah, the L from the pink movie where she's pink. What was that?
Legally Blonde.
Yeah, that's it.
and also
Elle's also very pink.
I'm not on Facebook, thank goodness.
Should be.
And I'm on YouTube, aka Elle Latham, so aka lowercase, and then ELLELATHAM, and that would be uppercased.
Ooh.
Are you getting mad because YouTube is removing all the conspiracy videos now?
I'm not mad about it, but it's annoying when I'm searching for something specifically Illuminati related and I have to put in like this month to find something relevant.
Don't you hate that?
You can rip those, you know.
And then it says Illuminati from Wikipedia. I'm like, gee, thanks. That's what I was looking for. If I wanted to find an Illuminati article, I would look it up on Wikipedia, dumbass. Anyway, yeah. So that'll wrap everything up. Let's let the plane play us out. We're still flying.